Hi, and welcome to Frame Society, where we discuss real-life issues in film. And so, today is a very, very special episode. It's in honor of all the holidays we lost in 2020. What a fun one, right? Super fun.
That's depressing.
Hilarious. So, let's start. Who's going to talk about the film, about the synopsis? Oh, the film, by the way, it's Rise of the Guardians. DreamWorks masterpiece.
Yes. Such an amazing movie, oh my god. From Peter Ramsey.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
We stan.
Do we?
Well, he did an amazing job with this movie, so yeah. Yeah, we stan. Okay, if you want to, I can read the synopsis from IMDb and kind of develop from there.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So, IMDb tells us that this movie talks about something like this. When the evil spirit Pitch launches an assault on Earth, the immortal guardians team up to protect the innocence of children all around the world. So, who are these immortal guardians? They are a team of Bunny, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, and Sandy, also known as, in Portuguese, Rompstein. Yeah, I remember watching this movie for the first time and I was like, who's this Sandy? I don't remember him in our culture. And then my family was like, oh, this is the one we talk about when we say, oh, it's time for bed. Sandman is coming to, yeah, Rompstein. Yeah. Yeah, and there's a new immortal guardian coming up to join this amazing team, and that is the Bay Jack Frost.
The Bay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Mega babe.
What a bay.
Yeah, so I saw the movie yesterday, and we've talked about this, but it was like I saw it when it released, and then I never saw it again. And so I didn't really remember it. And I was like, I don't know if it's because of all that we've been through this year, but I really felt the film in a, I don't know if it was a different way or if it was like I was seeing it for the first time. I honestly don't know how to explain what happened, but the whole theme of the movie, it resonated so much, you know. Was very special experience to have, and it's really, yeah, I don't know how to get into it, so I guess maybe we can go through the topics, you know. Obviously, yeah, one of the main things of the movie is the magic of the holidays and the magic of innocence, you know, because Sandy and the Tooth Fairy aren't really holiday-ish, but they are tradition in the innocence of children, right? And yeah. So that's the whole main thing. It's how special believing and the innocence when we're children, you know, how important it is to protect that. And yeah, I don't know if you want to say something about that. It's pretty straightforward, but
I was rewatching it today. Oh my god, what happened to my voice?
It's the emotion.
Yeah. I was rewatching it during lunchtime, and one of the things that I was reflecting about is that, of course, we know these kind of myths aren't real. They're called myths for a reason. But in a way, if they are treated with the wonder that you should feel like they are when you're a child, if you believe in them, that belief is never going to end or disappear once you grow up. I still feel like a children. I still believe in all these myths, although I know that, yeah, Santa Claus doesn't exist. The parents are the ones who buy.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Santa Claus doesn't exist? There are children here. Yes, he does exist. He's in North Pole making gifts right now. Actually, you can use our code Frame Society 2020 for 20% off on Santa's toys this year.
Can we?
I'm kidding. Oh my God, I'm poor. Kidding. We don't have that.
I'm an idiot.
We don't have that kind of influence.
Yet. And faces on the yet.
Yes. I'm sorry. Dumb influencer joke. But yeah. I lost our train of thought. Sorry. But
no, it's okay. I was talking about of that because, for instance, I see my one of my sisters. She's a teacher, and she teaches third grade kids, and I remember my third grade self. I don't know if I still thought Santa was real and the tooth fairy and all that jazz, and that was so magical and I loved it so much. You know, that whole magical spirit of knowing that, like, kind of a supernatural person existed and got to deliver presents to every children of the world in the night and talked every single language and all that thing. And you see kids nowadays and they kind of, it's like they don't have that magical sense of the holidays or of any of these myths. My sister talks with them about Christmas and they're like, oh, Santa doesn't exist, it's my parents who buy the presents, I go to with them to the shopping. That's just so even if you know your parents buy the presents, it still has that kind of sense of the wonder in it. It's
I mean two things. First of all, it's so on brand that you were that magical kid. It's so on brand. It makes so much sense. Knowing you, it's amazing. And two, honestly, I was that annoying kid that didn't actually believe in anything. I was very much a cynical child. Still am a kind of cynical person about a lot of things. But one thing that I found really, you know, it was interesting, but it was also difficult growing up. I mean, you know, we have established that I'm not the most Christmassy person.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really enjoy Christmas music and I don't really care about the decorations.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Mariah Carey doesn't make a cent from me. I'm sorry. I mean, you deserve it, but it's just not my thing. And so it was really weird because I couldn't relate to all the other kids. And everyone around me during that, you know, age were like you. Oh my God, it's Santa and it's the Easter Bunny and it's, you know, everything is magical and everything is fabulous and full of sparkle and wonder and joy. And I was like,
No.
I mean, keep doing you, boo, but it's just, I can't relate to that. It's just, it was very, I mean, now, like you say, it isn't like that. But at the time, it was very alienating. Yeah, I felt like a, because the kids, they couldn't, and thank God they didn't actually, because today I envy the fact that I never really felt that wondrous magic of being a kid, of, you know, believing in dear old Santa and all that. So it's really interesting to see that shift from being, you know, at the time, it was weird to be the kid that didn't believe. But now it's weird to be the kid that believes, you know.
Yeah.
For I see, exactly. I also, my baby cousins, they all are very practical. They don't go, I'm gonna write a letter to Santa. They're like, Mom, Dad, please send the link of the new game I want to the family group chat. Thank you. And that's that. And, you know, it's, very weird. It's funny, you know, like I was saying, when I was a kid, I was like them. I was very practical about it. But growing up, I feel sad that I didn't believe, and that they don't believe either, because it's one of the best things about being a kid during the holidays, is just enjoying it with pure wonder and joy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, if you're not very Christmassy, I am not. I hate Christmas, always hate Christmas. Yeah, but I love everything that surrounds Christmas. It's okay. Wait. I hate Christmas because I have really, really bad memories and negative thoughts and feelings attached to it. And so I hate this period, like winter, holidays, everything like that. I hate the end of the year. It's really not my cup of tea. But I do love Christmas music. I do love Christmas movies. And I do love myths. You know?
Yeah.
I discovered pretty soon that Santa Claus wasn't real, you know, but like, I still wrote a letter to Santa every year till I was probably 12 years old, okay?
That's so cute.
Yeah. And like, I wanted to make it real. I was like, no, it needs to exist. So I gave the letter to my parents like every year. Like, I knew that like, you're gonna buy it, but it is to Santa, okay? Just so you know. And yeah, I really love to watch everything around Christmas, you know, not being a part of it, but just watching it from the distance. And that's one of the reasons I love this movie so much. It's one of my favorite movies of like all time. I watch this movie every year, probably twice a year, okay? I watch this movie in a movie theater. I stan this movie so much. And because it makes me relate not only by being a, you know, a spectator like I am every year, you know, normally I'm just like watching the lights and the song and families be happy while I'm sobbing in the corner and be like, ah, my life is so shitty, oh, you know. Yeah,
oh, no.
I'm not that depressed, but well, life, I guess. But I,
for drama effect.
Watching people usually bring me joy, you know, watching people be happy and watching kids be all excited to receive the presents and to watch their family and to eat chocolate and things like that. And this movie brings me even more joy because it makes me feel like even if you are a loner and if you do not like are really festive and things like that, you know, like Jake Frost is a really like really enticing character and I can relate to him so much, and I really be like, maybe I'm the guardian of a kid, you know. You know, I'd be like, I want people to believe in me.
Yeah, I could relate to Jack Frost on a different level, but you know, you have bad memories attached to Christmas and you see yourself as a spectator. I never really got the magic of holidays, of all holidays. And what I like about Jack Frost is that
he doesn't care.
I relate to him in the sense he can still protect innocence and wonder in children without being necessarily attached to a holiday. Or, you know, his magic is the most, I don't know, daily one, I guess, you know, fun and and battling your fears with the self-assurance. That's something we do every day, not just on Christmas, not just on Easter, not when we lose a tooth, but, you know, those are our moments in time when we're children where we really start to understand that, of course. The holidays always have a lot more emotion in them, usually, and they have more, I don't know, the memories from that time might have more weight on some of us, and that's why it might be more important. But I don't know, I feel like the way that Jack Frost is his magic is so normal and ordinary, and you know, it's a daily thing, a daily surprise, you know, snow day, oh, it snowed today, I'm gonna stay home, you know, that kind of daily bliss. I related to him in that sense. He doesn't need a huge story behind
it. I mean, he has a huge story behind.
Yeah, no, I know, but
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, celebration kind of.
Yeah, his celebration is, you know, living.
Yeah, but...
And becoming
also,
who you are and finding
Sandy.
Out.
Sandman. Sandman is like... Every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Every night. Yeah. More.
I really like Sandy as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a great character. And doesn't speak. I can stand that. Same. Yeah. Me.
Yeah.
I am
but
Sandy.
He's so expressive.
You know, one of the things I like most about Sandy's importance in the film is that, you know, he represents dreams of children. And even the animation, it shows, you know, very childlike things. You know, dinosaurs and fish and unicorns. And I don't know, I think I remember seeing something with a ping pong amongst all the animation. I should have noted it down. But the moment Sandy, you know... spoiler alert for those who haven't seen the film. The Sandy's downfall.
I'm gonna cry.
Is one of the most important pivotal points because as children lose their
ability to dream.
I don't know. Ability to dream, and even though they are mundane dreams, you know, at that age, all their hope that comes from Christmas and Easter. All their wonder, all their excitement, it all fizzles down because they can't dream. And the importance it gives to this thing of being able to dream, you know, as a child you dream of dinosaurs and ballerinas and unicorns. And I used to dream of really huge jars of Nutella. Yeah, the foodie in me. I really like sweet things. And so, but as you grow older, your dreams begin to change. But it's dreaming, I believe, fuels us in a lot of ways. If you lose your ability to dream, you almost lose touch with most parts of yourself that are more optimistic.
You know?
I speak for myself.
You lose hope. Yeah, because
resilience.
Like Sandy is not only like, of course, it's a Sandman. Like he puts children to sleep and give him good dreams and things like that. But dreams are not only a thing you have at night. You know, you dream during the day. You dream always. And if in a more like larger side, dreams. Our imagination. So if Sandman die, the imagination die, and so everything that's not real or
hope,
like, you know,
yeah.
factual dies. And that's the reason why when Sandy is gone, because it's not dead, okay?
Yeah.
But when he's gone, children stop believing in
everything,
Easter Bunny and everything, and they just have like the fear of bitch.
That moment really struck me because, you know, when Jamie goes to talk to them and the kids say, just be thankful you can still have those dreams and not have nightmares, you know, there's this breach because the moment they lose that, it's like the other kids at that point become mentally so much. For me, it was like they seemed so much older, you know, because it's like they couldn't get in touch with their inner child. And Jamie.
But that's the thing about the movie.
Yeah,
that's the
bring
whole thing.
Your inner child.
That's what North or Santa talks about. It's
your center.
They are guardians because they have the ability to bring out their inner child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Santa or North is always amazed by everything, you know, when he took out the little yeah. thing
with the big so eyes.
So amazed with everything, and he can see magic and in everything.
Tooth yeah. Fairy so is overly excited about everything, yeah. over especially teeth. But she's overly.
She loves teeth.
Yeah, teeth are memories. That's yeah. so beautiful yeah. that analogy. So
yeah,
it makes a lot of sense.
And you know, I found it really special. And you know, one of the things is like, of course, Pitch is about fear and everything, but I don't know if it's because we're exactly in the holidays and we lost so much this yeah. year. I related Pitch to so many more things yeah. when I rewatched it, because of course, Pitch is not a global pandemic, but the feeling that Pitch gives us in the movie, you know,
is a global pandemic.
He kind of is, because
that's fear, terrible
fear is, you know, being. I'm gonna try and make an analogy here. I okay, guess
it brings darkness.
Even though, gladly, not everyone in the world has suffered from the virus in itself. We were all victims of it, either because of fear, of isolation, of, mm-hmm. you know, despair, all that stuff. And, you know, I related this year's experience a lot with Pitch, because he's fear. And he talks about how in the Dark Ages, it was all him. He ruled everything, and people lived in fear, yeah. and everything was fear, everything was dark, and there was no joy, nobody on the streets, no light, no nothing. And I related a lot to this year's experience. Of course, it's not, you know, intended, but it's a weird, weirdly accurate, I guess, yeah. metaphor for what. At least I see that we went through from my point of view, because it was a weird year, yo. It was a really weird year, yeah, emotionally.
To be honest, like the pandemic and everything only made me notice how much it doesn't change a lot of my everyday life.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have to use a mask, basically, and, like, you know, social distancing. But, I mean, I stand social distancing. I mean, like, people finally respect my personal space.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I mean...
But, yeah, after, like, past that, I don't... Honestly, I feel like it's really bad to say, but it's pretty much the same. I'm just, like... isolating more, but it's not very different, may I say. I just like, okay, school's different, you know, we have, that's pretty shitty. I don't have a job, that's pretty shitty too. But as long as, like, going out all the days, seeing my family, seeing my friends outside of school and job and whatever, and, you know, studying and being stressed and being not stressed and whatever, it's kind of similar to
yeah
what I had before, you know.
I, you know, about being social, I think we can all relate in that sense. We aren't really the most outdoorsy, outgoing people. So I didn't really yeah. see much difference in that, in, you know, staying out and going out and stuff like that, and going, I don't know, to restaurants and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I come from a big family, and so there are certain things that really I didn't think would make much difference, but they did. So, you know, birthdays are usually... And before this, I was like, ugh, what a hassle, you know? I mean, it's my birthday. I need, like, minimum number of people on my birthday is, like, 30 people, okay? And that's just, like, close family. And, like, really, really close family. And then this year, it was just not even my sister was here. And it was just me, my mom, and my dad. And it felt so empty. It was like it didn't feel like my birthday because I was used to that tradition. And this year, Christmas yeah. is going to be very weird as well because, you know, it's usually my grandparents, all my cousins, my all my uncles and aunts. And like this year, it's going to be my grandparents, me, my one of my cousins, and one of my uncles, my parents, because my baby cousin, the youngest of the batch, is in isolation this week and the next, so that's not gonna happen. And you know, my godmother, she's in France working. She usually comes for her son's birthday. He lives with my grandparents in the summer, and she was able to do that. And Christmas, but she couldn't come to Christmas. And, you know, it's going to be, even though there are some of us there, it's still going to be really empty. So it's a new experience.
Yeah.
But it just makes me, like, there, a lot of things didn't change, but the things that did become very weird, you know, it doesn't feel like them. It doesn't feel like a birthday. It doesn't feel like a Christmas yeah. because the people that need to be there, you know, aren't. And that's well, a yeah. very weird experience too.
Yeah, I could totally sense that. Long before Christmas, but in October when you start to get ready for Halloween, and then it's normally in my house is in my mind. I like to start preparing and thinking about Christmas right at the start of November. Oh no, sausage!
Sausage?
She's gone.
What happened?
Go. Hi.
Sausage.
I'm back.
Oh no. I was talking about Christmas and she was like, "Nope, not today."
She's like, "I hate Christmas."
Goodbye.
Bye.
Sorry.
Yeah, but I was saying, normally I start to get into the spirit and listen to Christmas songs and start getting excited about family being all together, because although I always liked as a kid to enter a room full of presents because we are a big family and there's color and lights everywhere when it's time to open the presents on the night of Christmas Eve, I start to get even more excited each year, not to open my presents, but to see the reaction of other people and other family members to the things that I took so much of my time and dedication to make for them, which I think it's even more special each year. And now with a family growing and more nieces and nephews coming, it's even more exciting. And once I started to think about or wondering what it would be like to have a Christmas without my siblings, which was always the nuclear family, the seven of us, which now are a lot more because of my sisters in-law. Is it that the name you
yes.
said? Yeah.
Yeah.
My sister-in-law and brothers-in-law. Yeah, it sounds kind of a bit weird. It kind of got me. I remember, and I think that relates to the whole dreams disappearing and the nightmares kind of dominating your life a bit. I went through that during the beginning of isolation. And at that time, at the end of October, November, I was feeling very emotional. And my dreams, I'm a very... For being very emotional, my subconscious kind of revolts in that way. And I have very vivid dreams, weird ones, and nightmares when they struck in, they are a bit harsh. And so I kind of felt that whole loss of hope and the nightmares, I don't know, running through me in a yeah. very strong way. Thankfully, my siblings are allowed to come with all the restrictions we have to make, but I'm just happy for them to be able to be here, even if it's for a day or a weekend. It's just, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, this thing with, you know, especially I guess people who have bigger family traditions and a bigger, you know, more used to that. This yeah. kind of isolation, really, you know, usually Christmas and the New Year's, this is already a tough time because, you know, some people are fortunate enough like us to celebrate it with our family. But there's already high depression rates and isolation in a lot of people in normal yeah. years, you know, it's always a concern. And I think this year is going to be even tougher when it comes to that, probably, because, you know, there are people that unfortunately experience that every year, you know, being sad and feeling alone at this time of the year. But there's a lot of people that never really went through that, through those kinds of feelings, and they are going to be forced to feel that way this year. And, you know, a little side note, you know, we here at Frame Society, we're all, you know, college students at home right now. So if any of our listeners feels lonely, they can DM us and through our social media, and we can talk for a little while. We wouldn't mind that. Yeah. And yeah, that's just, I feel like that's an important PSA, I guess, to have, is that this is already a tough time normally for a lot of people. And with this year being especially tough, things can get a little overwhelming. And one of our main things when we started thinking about doing this was to create conversation and to create the sharing of ideas and community, but also we really just want to put a foot of ours in the world. And I think it's really important that we get to help somebody mm-hmm. by doing this, by keeping them company. And I feel like that's really important. I see media content as most of the times as comfort, as escape. And I hope we can provide that as well.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. Yeah.
This can be your sandman.
Yes. we wouldn't mind being sandy for you.
Yeah, and we so, ain't going anywhere.
All our inboxes are open. We still don't have a server or a special server for chatting, but we are getting to it. And yeah, I guess this episode, we wanted it to be special in the sense that we wanted it to remind us not only of the magic of the holiday, but we wanted to bring Jack a little of Jack Frost to everyone. You know, fear exists, it's scary. You don't have to not believe in fear. Fear helps us move in dangerous situations. Fear can be good. But don't be afraid of fear. It's normal to feel that, but
yeah.
It won't control you unless you let it. And,
preach.
You know, it's important to keep in mind.
Hope is never lost.
Exactly.
It is actually the last thing to die.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And
so
we hope yeah. that we can be a way of you finding comfort and of you overcoming your fear this year. We hope to be Sandy and a Jack Frost. We hope movies can be a good
yeah, even if it's not
tool.
Us.
Yeah.
Or this thing right there,
yeah,
this
movies,
conversation of Frame Society.
I don't know.
Yeah, movies.
YouTube videos.
Series, books,
variety
drawing,
TV.
Football. Yeah, variety TV,
YouTube content,
whatever, music,
yeah
YouTube content.
We just
anything, a person or a guitar, a shoe, clothes. I don't care. Everything a rock. Can be, like,
rocks are so cool, man. Like, get a pet rock.
wait.
I have a volcanic rock. Actually.
Like this one.
Rocks are so cool.
Yes, I have a rock. I have a rock.
I have a volcanic one. I don't know where it is.
But I can't find mine. My room, like,
I think
my room at my parents' house is an actual mess. It's so full of stuff. I can't really see it right now, but I know I have, like, one or two pet rocks here somewhere. So, yeah,
I have much more than that, but, yeah, I had this little rock just by my bed. Because, yes, I'm on my bed, because why not?
Me too.
But, yeah, this is my favorite rock. So, it's so cute, so beautiful,
yeah,
so polished,
yeah.
My best friend. So, yeah. If you have a rock, like, nearby, just like pick it up, bring it home, put it right next to your bed, and it's gonna be your best friend.
Your best is gonna be your rock. Your support. That's funny.
Some people have K-pop support boys, other people have support rocks, and you know, all of them are cool. we just wanted to bring a little shine to this season.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
So Rise of the Guardians is a great film, and it's also a great getaway to give inspirational speeches, apparently.
It is great. It's a great movie, great characters.
Yeah.
Honestly, even like, watch this movie and you're gonna feel so great. You're gonna cry a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. But by the end, you're gonna feel so great. Like, while you're sobbing, like, really ugly crying, you're gonna feel so great about yourself. And you're gonna, like, have a new waiver of hope.
Yeah.
Like, entering your body. And you're gonna believe in yourself. And you're gonna start doing things. Even if 2 days later, you're just, like, gonna stop. It's like, don't care. You're gonna feel great. Watch this movie anytime you feel bad. I swear to God, this is like therapy. It helps me a lot. I'm sure it can help a lot of you.
It's very cathartic.
Yeah, it's amazing. And yeah, you can relate so much to Jake. It's so great to see yourself in a character that well. And he's a... It's so cool, it's so nice, it's so, like, badass. You can't not love him and love being related to him so much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, watch the movie. Just watch the movie.
Yeah, even the whole question. I remember watching the movie for the first time, and I was questioning myself the same questions Jake had when Pitch was with his whole army of dark horses, and he was like, oh, I'm scared, and then they were about to leave, and he's like, oh, but if I can see you, how can I still remember you or believe in you? And I was like, oh, god damn, you got it right. I was thinking the same thing, because it happens to all of us. In fact, I was watching the movie and I thought it was a great analogy, thinking the whole discussion and kind of appeal to the dark side that Pitch tries to get Jack Frost into. It's actually, it kind of represents the whole daily struggle we go through every day. The whole thing of, oh, it's so much easier to go to the easier path and simpler path, to not do anything, or to just overthink and let it...
What? This is Star Wars.
Yeah. I know. But it's I'm really in. Interesting because
Shana's not liking.
I have a, you Star know Wars every time I hear Star Wars I get like PTSD flashbacks.
This is a non-Star Wars way to
talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually interesting, and I think it's a great way to see our own struggles in such a, okay, fantastical way. But if we really think about it and go deep into it, it's as simple as that. It's, you are, imagine, if you are thinking about something that really bugged you, you can either choose to keep thinking about that, overthink it, for not a reason. Oh my god, my dog is snoring. Oh my god, it's really, I cannot concentrate. But yeah, you can either overthink it and not think of anything else that could actually make you feel better, or you can try and transform that into something that more therapeutic, like meditation. And a meditation could be made in various ways. You don't have to do the yoga like a meditation where you just sit in silence, thinking about your breathing. You can, your meditation could be everything we said before, like a rock, listening to music, rock. Being with your family, FaceTiming your friends or family. It's all about not distracting, but trying to express that and getting out of your chest. That can really help you take out of all the negative and toxic energy you have in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you... I don't know if we already said it, but... You know, like you said, meditation can be anything. And I just remembered something... Actually, this is... a bit of a TMI, but one thing we do a lot as friends is when we, I mean, I do it especially when I'm feeling a bit more down, I crank up my computer or my, you know, speakers, and I blast my favorite songs and I scream along to them. I don't sing, I scream along to them, and I record it in dumb ways to send it to our group chat. So, I mean...
Unfortunately.
I do as well.
So...
I just received it.
Yeah, we're still waiting on Sasa's scream-a-thon of music. But, yeah. And, you know...
Not today, Satan, not today.
Screaming at the top of your lungs to your favorite songs can also be meditation. And I was... While you were talking... Yeah, as well. While you were talking, I was over here thinking about one of the funniest things about Pitch's demise in the movie is that, you know, he represents fear, but it's his own fear that destroys him. And it's so funny that fear is destroyed by fear. It's such a... I love
Pitch is a great character because he's just a man that's afraid.
Yeah.
Afraid of being...
of not being believed in
yeah and he is so, like, he's so nice. I love him. Like, really, you can really easily switch from Jake to Pitch.
Yeah.
Really easily. But I think, like, Pitch really represents this part of us that we all have, like you said, Merch, of darkness.
Yeah.
And the dark side of the force. Sorry, Shanna. But it's great. It's great. I think that life is a great balance of both things. I always say that. But, like, happiness is not just happiness. Because if it was just happiness, it would be just boring.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. There might have been some depressed episodes in there. Some sadness, some excitement, some... anger issues and things like that. But, like, happiness and life is a great balance of everything. And that's why, like, world before Pitch comes out of nothing, basically, was so great. Because, like, fear still existed, right? Because you cannot eliminate the fear. Yeah. It's just, like, within us. But because there was this part of, like, the guardians protecting us or child or whatever. We all childs. We are kids. Because they were there protecting us and they gave us this happiness, this safe place, because we have this balance between fear and dreams, and between sadness and happiness, between all this thing, you get me, you get the idea.
Yeah.
That's what makes it's so great and so interesting. And even when we have our darkest path and we are more like pitch, you know, we just like afraid of something, and we just like are capable of anything not for that to happen, and we can go really down in our darkest place, we will always rise to the top. Okay, so yay,
crank up the Rocky montage. You are your own Rocky, my dude. You are the Rocky of your own life. It's all about rocks today. I don't know what's
going. Believe in yourself and people will believe in you.
Forget the bananas. The rock is the new bananas.
Yeah. Rocks are the new banana, guys.
Oh my god.
For this Christmas, think about rocks.
Yeah, get yourself a pet rock.
Get a rock.
Actually, wait. I think there really was like a brand named Pet Rock that sold rocks with eyes glued on it in a box, and it was like a pet rock. Yeah. I think that exists. I need to send y'all this bit. But yeah, like,
that's hilarious. I love that.
I would buy it. I would buy it.
I'm in.
I have your pet plants.
Your parents doesn't want a pet.
Do you know what I would name it? Do you know what I would name it? I don't know what's the name in English, but the whole Greek mythology thing is
Sisyphus. Sisyphus. Sisyphus the rock. Sisyphus the rock.
Sisyphus has turned into a rock. He is the rock. Oh god, the twist. He has been the whole rock this whole time. Yeah.
And this is why we love merch, guys. Sisyphus the rock. Get yourself a Sisyphus. Get yourself a Sisyphus. Oh, also, like, not really as catchy as rocks, but you know, you can also get pet plants. I've had 3 so far. So, I mean, I'm not that great of a plant mom, but. But
come on, you can let them die so easily. A rock is fine because you can forget about it. It doesn't move, it doesn't die, it's just there.
I haven't watered that. And you could take it to so many beautiful places.
Poor plants.
She's doing amazing. I'm really bad with plants. She's my Christmas tree, look. With little lights.
Look, people, if you're not good with plants, just buy fake ones.
No, because that's plastic. I mean, we have the survivor so far. My survivor is Junie. He's still going strong and big and beautiful. But my first child, Alfredo, rest in peace, R.I.P. He was the first I got, and he was the first to go.
Oh no.
And Yuki, my mom actually killed Yuki. I'm still salty about that. Because she overwatered her. She was a succulent.
But you killed the first one, so you cannot be really salty about it.
I didn't really kill the first one. The thing is, I moved a lot when I had them, and so he kept moving environments, and he didn't really adjust it well to it, and so he kind of just slowly started to decay, which is...
You're still the reason for it to die.
But, you know, he understands. He's in a better place now with all his little plant friends. So
we hope he is.
He's in plant
heaven.
I'm
really not a plant person, honestly. A rock is fine for me.
Yeah, rocks, plants, get yourself...
something.
Yeah. A pillow. A great pillow is always a good company.
Yeah. I have a Sully one.
A plushie.
Yeah.
Plushies.
I have a kind of a plushie / pillow thingy from Disney. It's Sully from Monsters, Inc. It's the best thing ever. I think you can see if I show you. He's right there. Look.
Yeah.
That's my plushie.
I have 4 plushies. The only one y'all get to see is this one. It's a gift from an ex-boyfriend, but it's there.
Just throw it away already.
I can't. It's a great pillow. So, you know, the plushie isn't at fault here.
You're so pragmatical. It's like emotions. No.
That's exactly why it's an ex-boyfriend. I like, just don't care.
It's a great pillow. I don't care where I get it. It's so great.
Yeah. The object doesn't have any fault in the situation. Why would I punish it when it's such a great object? It doesn't make any sense. Now I see why my relationships fail.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have so much like meanings attached to my plushie. So it's like,
yeah, I like, don't.
It's my first one. I still have it.
That was actually my first plushie. Yeah. I think. Actually, mine. It was my first plushie. It was from the ex boyfriend.
You never had a plushie?
No,
as a baby?
Like my sister had a collection of plushies, and so when I was born, I just played with hers. I never really got my plushie.
Yeah, but like, I mean, you were a kid, so they became yours. I mean, your sister is older than you, like,
yeah,
she gave them basically.
Yeah, but it just, they never really felt like mine. But then I have three other small plushies. They are all from, I think they're all from Little the supermarket. I have the king pig from Angry Birds. I got a mushroom, and I got a lamb because of my surname.
Yeah.
A lamb.
Also, my child plushie, the first one I think I ever got, was a little sheep. Such a cute one.
Yeah, it's a baby sheep. Oh, yeah. And like last year, there was this huge fair that usually happened here in my hometown. My dad got me, I forgot about this plushie, my dad won me a plushie. It's a poop plushie.
Well, if it's cute.
It's really cute. It's an angry poop. It's like,
oh god.
Angry poop. It's not only a poop, it's an angry poop.
Yeah. Very, very in touch with my personality and humor.
We don't like angry poops.
That was too real, Virch. Too real.
We don't like angry poops.
The drama.
My fucking god.
Yeah, but
yeah, back to the movie.
Yeah.
It's emotional support plushies. That's why it's related to the movie.
Yeah.
Have your emotional support.
Get yourself
support.
Even if they're angry poops plushies.
Everything.
They're
goes.
Funny, so being. And you know what Jack Frost's center was? Fun. You know, yes. we always get to circle back to the movie. We're great at this.
Are we?
If it gets a smile on your face and it's still related
debatable.
To the movie.
It's great.
Yeah.
We did our job. The job here is done.
Yeah,
mic drops.
We're not pros. We're not analyzing certain plans of the movie, or
thank God we're not.
Yeah, we're just ranting.
I mean,
about
we could,
whatever,
but that would be just so boring.
Yeah, yeah. Let's rant about how angry poop plushies are great, and pet rocks
and rocks. Yeah,
that's real professionalism.
Get your spiritual rock, your crystal. Yes, that's the name. Buy more crystals.
Merch
the
witch.
Don't buy more
the
crystals.
Witch. Merch the witch has entered the chat.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, I mean, honestly, I think we're done for today.
Are we?
Our Christmassy episode, our festive episode, 55
is
minutes.
Is it done? It was really fast.
Yeah, it went by really fast.
Hope you all like it.
Yeah, we hope you have the best Christmas you can possibly have. And like we said, our inbox is hope is open if you need some help making it a bit better or more annoying, depends on how you feel about us. But either way, we are open to talk. And yeah, we hope you have good holidays, and we hope that fear doesn't consume you.
Don't lose hope.
Yeah.
Never lose
hope. Buy a dream catcher to get away with your nightmares.
I have one.
Me too. It's
I don't. Yellow. But I just get weird dreams that I would mention. So I don't really need it.
Yeah, me too.
It's not really working, Merch.
Not really. It's just a myth. Anyway.
Mine's working fine, just saying.
We have to switch. Maybe it's the aura of my room. I had to cleanse it.
Probably. Sage I mean, it. Maybe it's just the Rocketman poster behind me that's protecting me.
I have the La La Land one, but maybe it's really negative.
Oh no, I just saw the two posters I snatched for my room and now I'm self-conscious.
Where are they?
The only posters I managed to get, I mean, I have a lot of art stuff, but the only posters I managed to get are Fantastic Beasts and Black Panther.
Wakanda Forever.
Mine are Lalin and Coco, so yeah, I think.
Well,
these are they aren't really on brand with me, honestly. But like, I like these movies, but they're not really like my go to kind of thing. I need to find.
But they are great movies.
They're great movies, though. Don't get me wrong, I'm not dissing them.
I mean, I don't like Fantastic Beasts, but that's. Personal taste.
Yeah. Shock. I can understand why.
But well.
Eddie Redmayne is amazing. In that movie.
He is. It's just, you know, I love the Harry Potter saga. But I do have to say, I prefer the Harry Potter movies to the Fantastic Beast ones. Personally, the Fantastic Beast ones are really good as well, same. But I don't know.
But that comes from we grew up with the Harry Potter movies. They have a special place.
But that's it for today. That's all you get to hear.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's all you get to hear. If you want us to have a major rant about Harry Potter, do let us know through our social media, but
we can watch all 7 of it and do a 8, special actually. Episode.
Yeah, we'll do a live stream. Let's do a live stream watching the 8 movies
in a day. Yes,
yeah, I was thinking of doing it.
I saw the other day a movie of a channel on YouTube that's called Dylan Is in Trouble. And he watched whole Twilight saga in one day.
Yeah, I love Dylan Is in Trouble. I love his channel. Yeah. I watch all his, I binge all his videos.
Me too.
I love
it. That's funny.
Sorry.
We should do something like that.
Yeah, if you guys are interested in us doing something like that, do let us know. And
We will.
Have a holy jolly Christmas.
We will.
And we'll see you on the new year.
Yeah, goodbye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.